This is the Zach and Zuri Show.
Welcome. Today's podcast clip comes from an interview with Professor Akant Veer from the University of Canterbury. You've been at your current university for 14 years, right? So,
correct.
Obviously, you know, you've done PhDs and honors and stuff like that. I mean, it's a hell of a career, and you've got a lot to go so far. Don't get me wrong, but when did you start thinking about marketing and that you were interested in marketing, or was it general in business, or was there something else you were thought you were going to do growing up?
Sure, great question. I always enjoyed business growing up. I come from a family of real doctors, so my dad's a real doctor. My older brother became a real doctor. As my mom keeps telling me, I'm PhD, which stands for phony doctor, not MD, which is money doctor. So I'm not a real doctor. this is a staunch Indian upbringing. It doesn't matter how old you are, they'll tell you. But I always enjoyed business growing up, but we never really had an opportunity for business in high school. Economics and accounting is what we had. So I went to University of Waikato and I studied a Bachelor of Management Studies, and I was dead set on doing economics and accounting. That was what I thought business was. And I did one semester of each and I thought, I'm never doing that again. Oh my goodness, this is not what I want to do for the rest of my life. But while I was studying in my first year, the best thing I did, and the thing I keep telling my first year students to do, is did a bunch of different options. So I did marketing, and that was part of the core, and that was great. And I really enjoyed marketing. But I also really connect with psychology. I did Psych 101. And I really connected with political science. And now reflecting back, I was kind of like, well, psych is all about understanding how people think, what they do, their motivations, their drivers. And that's very closely aligned with marketing. And then political science is so much more about the macro sociology of peoples and how they come together. And that was fascinating to me. And I think that all fits within marketing as well. And so we kind of fell into the sort of marketing world after just in my first year, these things started to click. And I didn't really know what marketing was at the time. But as a consumer behaviorist in particular, it makes complete sense that I ended up that way.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. So that is all the stuff that you discovered in your undergraduate degree?
First year undergrad. And I swapped my majors from economics and accounting through to marketing and information systems, because I, not that I liked computers and technology, but I liked that analysis of systems. I liked that analysis of interconnections and pattern making and problem solving. It's probably the closest to engineering without being engineering, if that makes sense. And so that, with marketing as my two majors, minor in psych, it was just such a beautiful combination looking back. I definitely wasn't smart as a kid. I look back and think I was a complete dumbass. But that clearly worked for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just what skills suit you and the way that your brain particularly works. Sure. And, you know, if you're more skewed towards thinking about things in a certain way, then it's a good job that fits well. We had a panel discussion for, you know, Masters by Research and PhD students the other day. And one of the things that I said to them, and like I hadn't really actually planned this, was, if you think the same way after completing a PhD, then I would argue you haven't completed a PhD, because you don't, right? It trains your brain to think somewhere differently. And so maybe you realized quite early on in your bachelor's degree that your brain functioned this way and that you were leaning more into that sort of direction.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's just a case of, I've never been afraid of trying something new, never been afraid of just, you know, the chaos is my happy place. And research really fits within that. And I didn't get into research until a few years later in my career. But it was really exciting to see new opportunities grow and avenues open up. And I just clicked with that much better. While I know people who are very happy with just like, I just go to work, I do my thing, I don't learn anything, I don't contribute much, you know, but I do enough to get paid. And then I spend my time doing what I like. And that's awesome. I love that people have found their why and their central part of who they are. For me, I'm an active relaxer. I get bored very easily. Put me on a beach and I get bored of it very quickly. I have to be doing something. And so marketing really lends itself that way.
Yeah, oh, that's really interesting. So your holidays then are definitely not sitting by the pool at a hotel?
Nah. See, and you know, I've got two kids. I've got an 18-year-old and a nearly 16-year-old. My wife and I have been together for about 21, 22 years. We kind of say when we go on holiday, you know, the ideal holiday is somewhere like Vanuatu or Hawaii. So they can sit on a beach. Well, my youngest and my wife can sit on a beach. My wife, my eldest and I can go climb a volcano or something like that. That's just how we click and how we gel, just how our bodies are wired.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, you live in our hemisphere because you're on the South Island, right, of New Zealand?
Correct. Yeah. Kind of halfway down the South Island of Aotearoa of New Zealand in a beautiful-ish city of Canterbury, Christchurch, New Zealand. And actually, I mean, I keep saying, you know, there's so much overlap between Adelaide and Christchurch. So mm-hmm. similar in their sort of makeup and stuff like that. Plenty of great wineries around us, plenty of great green space around us. Our mountains are a little bit bigger than yours, but otherwise it's pretty similar. And just great lifestyle. I've learned over the years, I'm just not a big city guy. I've grown up in England. I go back to India regularly. I love to visit, but I love living in a smaller city, large town sort of vibe. And SA has a similar thing.
Yeah, my fear is that South Australia will become more popular. Australia is growing in population and that it might ruin kind of what we have. And, you know, I think big is better in some ways, but I don't know.
Yeah, you'll get to that age where you can say, well, in my day, and that's when you know you're old, you know, yeah. In the good old.
Because you hosted ANZMAC. When did you host ANZMAC?
Far out. So we hosted ANZMAC in 2010. And that was just after the first earthquake. So for some of your listeners who don't realize, Christchurch had a few major earthquakes back in 2010, 2011. And so we had a big one in September of 2010, which was one of the largest earthquakes ever felt in New Zealand in colonized history anyway. And then we had ANZMAC. And then afterwards in February 2011, we had a devastating one that led to about 185 people dying, most of the central city being flattened. It wasn't as large an earthquake as the first one, but it was right under the central city, pretty much. It was just in the hills next to the central city. And our city is built on a swamp. And so that combination of lots of shaking, lots of water, high water table, the houses literally sunk. There were facades off buildings falling off. It was a pretty devastating time. But we had just been in the city maybe 8 months before the first one, about a year when the second one happened. So we had real opportunity to leave as a family. But we're also one of these families that believes that things happen for a reason. And we're clearly here for a reason. We'd fallen in love with the city and we felt we should be part of the solution to the city rather than just run away. We don't disparage people that did escape. They needed to do what they needed to do. But we chose to raise our kids in this city. And maybe for right or wrong, we think we're better for it. But yeah.
You hosted one relatively
2016, I think, as well. Yeah.
I was still a PhD student because I was at the doctoral colloquium there. And I have to admit, like, the similarities between Adelaide and Christchurch were uncanny. And I felt so at home because of it. It was bizarre. And even I think it actually ended up being a myth that the Colonel Light, the person who settled and, you know, Adelaide and South Australia and, you know, laid out the road structure and everything like that, that he did the same thing in Christchurch. But I'm pretty sure it was a myth, right?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised if someone copied notes but changed it up so it doesn't look like it's plagiarism. But another fun fact about Christchurch, if people know the show Parks and Recreation, then the town of Pawnee, if you look at the map of town of Pawnee, it's actually Christchurch. They've just changed the names. And so it's actually a complete mirror. So some intern was told to create a map. They took Christchurch, changed the names, and it's a complete mirror image of each other. It's quite funny. Anyway, but yes, 2016, I think we did ANZMAC again, 2016, 2017. I led the doctoral colloquium. I have a real heart for PhD students. I love the ANZMAC doctoral colloquium. I think it's the best part of the ANZMAC community because seeing young people or early researchers coming in and saying, I just want to get some support. I'm ready to be shaped and molded. It's just such a fascinating time. But also I learned so much from you guys as well. The cutting edge research you're doing and everything like that helps me keep young. I'm definitely old now, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I've only... Oh, the first time I was on the other end of it. So I went, I valued it so much as a PhD student myself. I went twice, but because I had so much value from it, I wanted to give back when I could. So I did the online DC and helped out there with the mentoring and stuff. And then I did the one in Perth last year. I've missed out this year. Apparently it was flooded with offers. Yeah, Tony was telling me like they've just been inundated with offers. But yeah, awesome. I agree. Because I want to I want to learn from them as well, but I also want to give back. You know, there are people there who are hat in hand saying, how can I possibly be a better academic, or how can I publish my work, or how can I get a career in a university? And being that informal, casual advice to someone is so rewarding.
It's one of those things that you get this when you get older, Zach. You're still very young, but when you get older, you end up with this proud uncle, proud papa moment a little bit. Like, I am presenting at the DC this year in Dunedin, and I'm co-presenting with Jess Pallant, who is one of our DC participants when I went at the 2016 one, I think.
Yeah, she won the award that year.
So Jess and I are presenting together, and it's like, oh my goodness, look how far you've come. Look how I'm learning so much from you. And I remember you when you were first year, second year of your PhD or whatever else it might be. And it's awesome. I mean, I've stayed in contact with her since then, but it's just so great to see that development, and to know you were one tiny part of it is pretty cool.
Yeah, they're great people, Jess and Jason, actually.
Jess and Jason, great people. I mean, I do remember, I think it was RMIT's doctoral colloquium, where for the DC, they didn't have like Professor Akant Veer, you know, University of Canterbury, these formal things. They gave everyone little different names. And so I was fun Uncle Akant. And so I was introduced people as fun Uncle Akant. That's how it was. And some of my colleagues now who say, I remember you at that DC as a mentor, and you were definitely my fun uncle. I'm like, that's fun. I'm glad.
You'd be known for worse things, that's for sure. So Jess is going. That's good. So is Jason coming?
Jason's on dad duty, and he's going to be following after the DC. So Jess is doing the DC, and then Jason's coming for the main conference.
Yeah. Ah, okay. Yeah, they switched last time. Yeah, okay. That's right. Well, that's at least I get to see them both still.
Exactly.
That'd be really nice.
Hey guys, it's Zach Ainsbury here with just a couple of quick reminders. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, then make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. There are plenty more interviews to come with some of the world's leading marketing academics and practitioners. You do not want to miss these. In the meantime, if you're looking for another way to connect, then follow me on Twitter at Zach Ainsbury. That is ZACANESBURY. For my take on the marketing issues of the day.
That was the Zach Ainsbury Show.